It's time for our weekly check-in with Detroit News business columnist Daniel Housen. Let's start out right here, Daniel. We've learned the state treasury will be paying more in refunds to businesses under the old Michigan business tax than it's going to get from businesses under the new corporate income tax. Lansing is projecting a net loss of $99 million in revenue from business taxes. Was this expected?
Yeah, I think it was expected. I mean, these bigger companies like the automakers have large tax credits that they've been able to cash in. There are some limits on them going forward. But the positive sign of this is this means that the jobs that they said they were going to create, they actually created. So there are actually men and women who are in jobs that are paying income taxes and other kinds of taxes. But that said, the companies are able to take certain kinds of deductions, which means that taxes they're actually paying are less. I think this is going to be a political issue in an election year. I don't think there's any question about it. This is going to cause people to say, well, look, business isn't paying their fair share. They're not going to get into the weeds and into the details. And when Republicans who back some of this stuff maybe push back, people will just say, all I know is that the companies aren't paying taxes.
Could it be that in trying to get rid of that program that was used under Governor Engler and Governor Granholm, so getting rid of those tax credits, did we go too far in the opposite direction?
I don't know if it's a question of going too far. It's a question of living through the transition. I mean, as long as those credits are out there and the companies can claim them, they will claim them. So it's think of it as a hangover effect. I think that's probably a better way to think of it. You know, in public policy, things don't stop on a Friday and start on a Monday. I mean, they tend to phase in and phase out, and it takes. And so you live with the consequences of your predecessors sometimes throughout your entire tenure, which is, I think, going to happen with Rick Snyder.
Okay, let's talk some other stories, Daniel. We hear Dow Chemical is being wooed by other states who would just love to land those thousands of jobs. And this comes just 5 months after Dow announced that it's merging with DuPont. Latest findings from the Education Trust Midwest that show Michigan students are on their way to 48th place in the nation by 2030, rather than the hoped-for goal of being a top 10 education state. By the way, we'll have more with them later in this show. And I saw in today's Detroit News that Detroit's population rank is now at its lowest since 1850. So for the first time since before the Civil War, Detroit has fallen out of the ranks of America's top 20 cities.
Well, I think you have to unpack it a little bit. You know, in terms of education, I mean, they're spending a lot of time, and I've been one of the proponents of saying that Michigan needs to really fight hard to be the intellectual center of the 21st century auto industry, particularly as you see this convergence between Detroit and the auto industry itself and Silicon Valley. I don't know how you're going to make that argument when you're reading the educational attainment of fourth and eighth graders is dropping like a stone. You look at this report you're talking about, and what's particularly alarming to me, I think, is that white students in the last dozen years, their achievement has dropped even more precipitously than Black and Latino students. So this whole notion that minority kids are worse off than white kids in terms of educational attainment is not borne out by this study. So I think that's point one. In terms of Detroit population, I was thinking about this today after I read the story. What's more important, to be in the top 20 or to actually have a functioning city that can deliver services and actually is getting more people moving in, as I think we're starting to see anecdotally? You know, it reminds me of the debate we had with the auto companies back when they were fighting for market share all the time, but they continued to lose money. You know, what's more important, to be profitable or to say you've got 30% market share? I think we've finally come to the realization that profitability is more important than size. And I would say that in terms of how people look at Detroit and do I want to invest there, I think they're far more interested and would be far more interested in investing there in 2016, 17, and 18 than they would in 2008, 9, and 10.
What about this, what we've heard about Dow Chemical being wooed by other states who would just love to get it out of Midland? What does that say to us?
Well, number one, it's not surprising. I mean, I think I was reminded of what happened with Delphi in 2005 when they declared bankruptcy. Governor Granholm issued a screaming statement. I still have it in my files that sounded as if it had been written by Solidarity House and the United Auto Workers. And while she was making a big deal out of what Delphi was doing, the governor of Indiana was quietly wooing the CEO of Delphi. They had operations down there in Indiana, and he was essentially trying to say, listen, if this governor up there doesn't like you, we'll take you. And that happens all the time. So it's not at all surprising to me that other states would be trying to make a play for some of the operations in Midland. I think the bigger question is, how effective and prepared is Michigan to fight back? Republicans in the legislature have gone after the MEDC, in part because of what we talked about at the top, because of some of the tax credits that became, you know, those chickens came home to roost, and it was very potentially very expensive. And as a result, the majority was going after the MEDC. They cut their budget. They had, I think, had to lay off some people.
Yeah.
You could almost say that they gutted the organization. So they don't have the tools that they might have had a few years ago.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes with our weekly check-in via Skype. As always, great talking with you, Daniel. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.